W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Two Americans are dead and two others are now back in the U.S. after getting kidnapped in Mexico. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the latest.
A relative says the four Americans had traveled together from South Carolina so one of them could have cosmetic surgery just south of the border. Shortly after entering Mexico, their minivan was caught in a shootout between rival cartels. Here at the White House, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre sent the president's condolences to the families of the two Americans who died. She also noted that part of Mexico is under a level 4 State Department advisory, warning Americans not to travel there.
Folks need to be really careful.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
Five women in Texas who say they were denied abortions when their pregnancies endangered their lives are now suing the state over its abortion ban. Nancy Northrup is with the Center for Reproductive Rights.
It is the first lawsuit in which individual women have sued a state for the harm that they endured because abortion care has been criminalized in the wake of Roe's reversal.
Critics say the Texas law is creating confusion among doctors who are turning people away with any complications because they're afraid of going to jail. The Justice Department's filed an antitrust lawsuit that could block JetBlue from merging with Spirit Airlines. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
By acquiring Spirit, JetBlue will eliminate the largest ultra-low-cost carrier in the United States.
The merger would create the fifth largest carrier in the country. Garland says that could result in higher fares and fewer choices for travelers. While many Californians still don't have power and are running out of supplies following record snowfall, but now they have to get ready for rain. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
This is not a garden variety storm.
Chris Matarocchia is with the National Weather Service. The massive front is being categorized as an atmospheric river, likely to drop large amounts of rain. The big concern is that it will melt the snow and lead to dangerous flooding.
This is something, again, that will bring impacts to daily life never experienced before.
The heaviest rains are expected at the end of the week. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Stocks on Wall Street dropped after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned today that it could increase interest rates again this month if inflation stays high. Financial analyst Ryan Payne.
What was not anticipated was the more hawkish comments, meaning they may have to raise interest rates even more. That's been anticipated, and the market was not expecting that.
The Dow fell about 575 points, the S&P lost 62, and the Nasdaq dropped over 145 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A Sheboygan woman accused of strangling one of her children and trying to drown the other about a year ago might change her plea next month. Natalia Hitchcock pleaded insanity at first. At the time, Hitchcock told police she felt that someone was controlling her mind. Now there's a new plea hearing set for next month. More than 200 people will soon be out of a job in Eau Claire. Hutchinson Technology tells the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development it's laying off about 55% of its employees in Eau Claire. A city official tells Channel 13 Hutchinson is vulnerable to market changes. The company did not respond to a request for comment. In sports, the Badgers are on the lookout for a new men's hockey coach. Tony Granato was fired yesterday. Tonight, the Bucks are at Orlando. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. The elderly,
disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services on and their bills paid. If you are in danger of losing heat, power, or water, call 1-800-506-5596 or apply online at heat.help. You may not ask for it, but the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold. U.S. Pharmacy has some exciting news. If you've been wanting to try Viagra or Cialis, now's the perfect time. Call today and receive 90 little blue or little yellow pills for only $119 with free shipping. Why order some low-dose sildenafil from one of those subscription services when we can give you what you want now? Call 800-711-6818 and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. 800-711-6818.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, educated educators talking education. Johnny, great show last week, artificial intelligence class. Check that out, John Warner. You know what, though, Johnny? I mean, we started out the show last week talking about Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
And it just continues to happen. And people are like, well, what do you mean? What's going on in Florida? Well, you know, looking for Evan there to get me on that first bit of audio, because that's going to set us up for a little bit. So, Evan, are we ready to play, hit that right now? All right. So, Evan, cue that audio.
Governor Ron DeSantis wants new guidelines on how U.S. history is taught in public schools. The State Board of Education is considering a proposed rule June 10th stating teachers, quote, may not define American history as something other than the creation of a new nation based largely on universal principles stated in the Declaration of Independence. A target of the proposal is what's known as critical race theory, based on the premise racism is embedded within American society and institutions. During a press conference about the proposal, DeSantis argued history, quote, needs to be taught accurate. It needs to be taught in a fact-based way, not in an ideological-based way. The Florida Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, opposes the proposed rule, saying it won't equip students as critical thinkers. Katie Johnston for CBSMiami.com.
That's a pretty good summary right there, Johnny, right? I mean, so in Florida, if you're a teacher and you're teaching the Declaration of Independence, darn it, you better recognize that that document is for one purpose and one purpose only: promotion of the United States greatness. All right. Making sure patriotism 101. I see you smiling, Johnny. What do you got to say?
Well, I mean, Tim, I do agree with you. That's a good synopsis of things and a nice breakdown of some of the inaccuracies that are misleading in the debate, right? Because I think any of us will get into it tonight, but I think any of us in education, regardless of sort of our, hopefully regardless of our political sort of belongings, is that we really want young people to be equipped with the best tools possible for being democratic citizens in this country, right? And so, and so I agree, this is going to be tricky. I agree with some of the clip of what DeSantis is saying. We do want children learning history. We do want them taught in ways that prepare them to make decisions based on what we know from historical facts,
right?
Multiple perspectives and with disciplinary tools. Like, we call on experts, right, to give us information, and teachers are helping young people to think how we can learn from and with history to make the best kind of decisions we can. Some of the inaccuracies I'm sure we'll get into at some point, if not on this show, as we continue the conversation. But this, that understanding and use or target at critical race theory is incredibly inaccurate, especially when we start to talk about the importance of teaching history, teaching what has happened. And I also agree with, if we focus on, as part of teaching history, if we focus on something like the Declaration of Independence, that we actually get into core democratic values, what they mean, both historically and over time and into this moment. And so that's a key part of...
But John, I got to stop you right there. I mean, you're going into saying into this moment, the Declaration is not a document to be interpreted. It is what it is. It said what it said, dude. This is not our time. You're starting to sound like somebody who says that our truth can change as time goes forward and influences that come about in the way these things, like history, for some reason, is somehow negotiable. Sometimes, you know, the evidence isn't necessarily all there is. You know, in fact, it's reminding me, and I'm looking to Evan again, it's reminding me of a hero of our show here. Howard Zinn. So let's 2009. Let's remember what Howard Zinn. Evan, cue up Howard Zinn.
Ask that question again and again. Now, should we tell kids that Columbus, whom they have been told was a great hero, that Columbus mutilated Indians and kidnapped them and killed them in pursuit of gold? Should we tell people that Theodore Roosevelt, who is held up as one of our great presidents, was really a warmonger who loved military exploits and who congratulated an American general who committed a massacre in the Philippines? Should we tell young people that? And I think the answer is we should be honest with young people. We should not deceive them. We should be honest about the history of our country, and we should be not only taking down the traditional heroes like Andrew Jackson, Theodore Roosevelt, but we should be giving young people an alternate set of heroes.
An alternate set. Look at Howard Zinn. Wait a minute. He was saying we can tell children other things. And so let's just summarize this real quick. So critical race theory, blah, 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 whatever it is. In Florida, though, Ron DeSantis is saying, look, we need to go with accuracy and facts. If it's not accurate, if it's not fact-based, then teachers, you can't do it. Howard Zinn is going like, hey, look, Columbus, you know, did this, but he also did that. It's a fact. Teddy Roosevelt, yeah, you know, cool, busted up a lot of big companies. Also like the idea of war. True. However, in today's Florida, that would be illegal. And because of that, though, thinking of Howard Zinn, the Zinn Education Project has launched an initiative to help teachers to this day. Johnny, you know, back in the 80s, though, when you were in trouble, somebody would say, who are you going to call? They would say, Johnny, what would they say?
Let's say you got to call Ghostbusters.
You got to call Ghostbusters. But on this moment, when it comes to negotiating how to teach truth, how to teach the reality, you got to call a historian. And for that, we have Dr. Margaret Power, professor of history, focusing on Latin America. She is representing the Zinn Education Project, and she is one of the historians on call. Margaret, welcome to Busted Pencils.
Well, really happy to be here. I'm a co-chair of Historians for Peace and Democracy, and we are working together with the Zinn Educational Project, but that's okay. We are completely friendly organizations. Historians on Call, and if you go on our website or their website, we have a really cute little logo of an old-fashioned phone with the receiver lifted off, because we're waiting for your calls. And the calls we're waiting for are calls from high school teachers across the country. So what we have decided in conjunction with our membership with the Zinn Educational Project is that in many ways, the high school teachers in this country are really on the front lines of the attacks that are being delivered against the educational system in this country. And many of them are in much more vulnerable positions than we are, although with what's going on in Florida, that's less and less true.
Right.
But what we thought it would be really important to do is for historians university college level professors to get in contact with local historians, social sciences teachers in the areas where they actually teach, talk to them about what is their situation, what's going on in their school board, what's going on in their classroom, what's going on in the school in general, and say, what are ways that we can work together? Because I think we have to see that we are under an incredibly severe attack across the country. And sort of what's happening in Florida is basically both alarming, but it's also going to be a model for the rest of the country, the way so much of the right-wing agenda has been determined and has been marched out in different countries across the country.
Wow, thank you.
In different states across the country. Yeah.
Great warnings. We're going to get into this. So my apologies. Historians for Peace and Democracy is actually who you and the historians on Caller is where they started Zen Education Project. It is a partnership then between Historians for Peace and Democracy and the Zen Education Project, Historians on Call. And Margaret, as you were kind of hitting there too, the reality that, not only high school teachers, right? Even now too, since we booked this show a month ago, as you're saying, we were talking about in Florida, what's happening at New College, the reality that might be coming under all forms of teaching and learning in the social sciences, history in particular, seems like the reality of what you can teach isn't necessarily something that's going to be decided by experts, historians, first and foremost on the issue of history, teachers who have the ability to understand teaching and learning, but policymakers. Is this sort of the motivation then too about, as I'm thinking about why would I, let me ask the question straightforward. Why would I call a historian? I teach fifth grade. I teach Columbus. I teach the discovery of America. Margaret, why would I need to call you?
Well, obviously, many high school teachers, junior high, elementary school teachers know a lot about their subject. At the same time, I think it's also true that many people, such as myself, who are professors, have had more time to sort of focus in and become experts in particular fields. And I think that what we're able to do is share some of our knowledge with the direct experience and knowledge of K through 12 teachers. I think that's what's really is going to be helpful. And often I think sometimes, maybe less and less so, but there is that little sense of, well, if you've got the doctor and you've got a PhD and you know more than other people, although at the same time, a lot of people think, oh, no, they don't know more. But I think one thing that I'd like to get into at some point during this conversation is what I think students really want.
And we are going to get into that in this conversation. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Hey, if you want to call us during the next segment, 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils. We are talking to Margaret Power, Historians on Call. And when we get back, let's do a little bit more about the actual students. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
Make no mistake, we are not afraid to bear the burden of repeating what they're thinking anyway. Let's raise the stakes on the bet we made.
Ten years ago, we opened with a single location. We had one glass blower, that's me, and a full display of artistically created glass pipes and products. Today, you've helped us grow to three successful locations. Ignite Glass and Gifts thanks you for your continued support. We'll be here as long as you need us. Madison's favorite for glass gifts and bait. Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. One solid decade. Man, does that feel good.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $199 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Low is around 30 tonight. Under cloudy skies, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, 43. Lows level off around 31 tomorrow night. Cloudy skies. Chance for snow Thursday and Friday, 40. Thursday, 35 Friday. 6 to 12 inches of snow Thursday through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Busted Pencils, we are always selling something you can be on this show. Educated Educators Talking Education. We are talking to Margaret Power, Historians on Call Collaborative with the Zinn Education Project and Historians for Peace and Democracy. So, Margaret, we're talking about in Florida, DeSantis is out there. He's saying, look, if you don't teach accurate facts, this could be a real problem. And it gets confusing. Johnny, tell me a little bit about you're talking about like the whole gaslighting thing confuses me. So give us a little lead.
Yeah. So no, what I'm hearing
talking about during the break there,
if I'm hearing it correctly, and this is exciting for me because as someone, you know, who mostly identifies from my experience as a classroom teacher, right, is that when I hear what is being said by voices like DeSantis in Florida and the kind of scare and fear tactics used. And he says, we need to be teaching with accuracy. We need to be teaching young people with historical fact. When I'm a teacher and I'm teaching multiple perspectives and I'm teaching history as I've been taught to teach it, right? To teach about things like slavery, to teach about things like genocide of the indigenous people, to teach about, you know, the multiple historical understandings we have, I learned those as fact. And so it's a bit of gaslighting and it's mm-hmm. a fear tactic where if I'm a teacher in Florida and I'm thinking, but how do I make sure I'm doing the right thing, right? By teaching the best of our knowledge, expertise in history, right? What I'm excited about and what Margaret is sharing here is that there are historians who are essentially by degree and training licensed historians. Right. But we can call on and say, hey, I'm not sure. I'm teaching, you know, 11th grade and I have this history kind of topic and these questions being asked. And I just want to fact check what I think might be fact or what I might not know. If I want to teach multiple perspectives about, say, the Declaration of Independence, I have historians I can call. And Tim, I like this because it reminds me of skilled trade. And I really do feel that teaching is akin to all the skilled trades. And it's similar to that. If I have a question about maybe some plumbing or some electrical work I need to do in a building, technically, because of the importance of safety in my community, there are certain regulations I have to follow in terms I may be asked by the city or by the bank or by anybody underwriting not only the property, but the safety of the people in that community. They may require me to include a licensed electrician or a licensed plumber. And this is essentially the same thing, right? Even if I know, right, I'm a great teacher in Florida, but my expertise is being questioned. Well, let me reach out and let me get support from a licensed historian, right? And from what I understand, and Margaret, can help us better understand this. If I'm understanding this correct, that's not only something available, but that's also available at no cost.
Yeah, Margaret, come on, give us a little more.
That's totally true. In addition to that, I think what we especially want to do is see ourselves inserted into the discussion about historians in the sense and about history. So, for example, if there are hearings in a local school board, then we would be able to go in and talk to people about history. We could write local op-eds and newspapers. I think we have to enter into the political debate about what is history. And along those lines, I wanted to say, I think there's this myth floating around that if we tell white students the truth about the history of the United States, they'll just have all these massive guilt complexes and that they'll just sort of fall apart. But my experience, I have been teaching for 27 years. And, you know, I don't sort of force anything down anybody's throat. As you said, Johnny, I promote debate because I think the best thing is to hear very different ways of thinking about things. What I find is that students really want to learn. White students want to learn about Black history. Straight students like to learn about gay history. They're saying, oh, I'm so happy, because what that does, it empowers them and it's liberatory. It allows them to understand a bit about the very complex world that we do live in and to understand about how the past has helped to produce and create and shape the world we live in. It doesn't say you have to think this way. And what's interesting to me is students come into my class and they always, because I have essays, they always say, well, is there a right answer? I say, nope, there's not a right answer. All you need to have to do is to be able to state your opinion, provide the evidence, and make a cogent argument about it. You can agree or disagree with each other. This is not a true false question. And I think that's really, really important to understand. And I think that's true for most historians. And who amongst us has not changed their ideas? I grew up a very conservative Republican, for example, in a very conservative part of the country. So I changed my ideas. Now, is that because somebody forced ideas on me? No, it's because I was exposed to different ways of thinking about things. And it doesn't mean I won't change my ideas again. I think if you don't change your ideas and if you're stuck, you're kind of dying, really. Mm.
I would say, yeah, that is the antithesis of learning when you're talking about that kind of stuck in a place. But, you know, it is this concern, though. And I think Johnny puts it out there, gaslighting, who say this. Teachers and students in this context, when they hear people like Ron DeSantis, Chris Rufo, different people talking about, you know, liberal agenda of the public schools using history to indoctrinate kids into their ways of thinking, these are words that really frighten people. And so, Margaret, even the idea of saying, you know, wrestling with ideas, I mean, if you hear what they're talking about here, there's no wrestling allowed here going on. It's like the facts are the facts, darn it. You know, and I start wondering, going at this point, though, you know, are we looking at, you know, they're saying leftist indoctrination. I'm a little bit wondering about when we're going to call this another form of indoctrination. In fact, we're going to hit that when we get back. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, back after the break.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A trip to northern Mexico for cosmetic surgery turns deadly when four Americans come under fire and are kidnapped. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Two of the four Americans who were kidnapped were killed. Another one of those, the third American, was injured, and another one was not hurt.
Mexican authorities say one person has been detained. Fed Chair Jerome Powell tells a Senate panel that the Fed could increase the size of its interest rate hikes if the economy remains strong.
Although inflation has been moderating in recent months, the process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go and is likely to be bumpy.
Five women are suing the state of Texas over its abortion ban. They say that they were denied the procedure in emergency situations. Plaintiff Lauren Hall says she ultimately traveled to Seattle after being told her fetus would not survive.
Providers are scared to treat cases like ours without guidelines from the state, and more people will suffer and lose their lives if a change is not made.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. There were considerably more complaints about child labor in Wisconsin last year. A division with the Department of Workforce Development got 86 complaints in 2022 compared to 18 in 2018. Only 13 cases resulted in financial penalties that were paid out. 9 have been dismissed. 64 are still under investigation. Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, among others, introduced the Child Labor Prevention Act on Friday, aiming to stop illegal child labor. The legislation increases financial penalties over time and closes a loophole in the Fair Labor Standards Act. Wisconsin set a record high for exports of ag and forestry products last year. The State Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection reports forestry and agriculture exports totaled nearly $4.22 billion in 2022, up 7% from the year before. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Always remember what you did last night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Rise Against, we love Rise Against. Tim Mickelrath, point that finger in my face. We always love it. We are historians on call, talking with Margaret Power, one of those historians on call. We've been talking about, you know, a teacher in a situation to say, I'm not sure, I'm going to give a historian a call. Margaret, so before we get more into the discussion, though, so I'm listening, I'm a teacher right now. I want more information. What's you know, some places I should be going if I'm a teacher and I want to find out more about historians on call?
We have a webpage. I will just say right up front, it's being redone because it's a little not perfect. But if you don't remember this, just type in Historians for Peace and Democracy. But the URL address is one word, historiansforpeace.org. Simple. So if you can't remember historiansforpeace.org, maybe you can remember Historians for Peace and Democracy.
historiansforpeace.org. That gets me located into your page. And then for anybody else who's out there and familiar, particularly social studies teachers, a lot of you probably already are familiar with the Zinn Education Project. And for that, you just need to go to the zinneducationproject.org and look for historians on call. Either way, historiansforpeace.org, zinneducationproject.org, you can find yourself information about what to do next. When we left for the last break, though, Margaret, I was, you know, thinking about this, the idea of authoritarianism, and people get really, you know, it's like, oh, that's a big word, Tim. That's a big accusation. But think about, you know, we've been talking about Florida, but I mean, it's just a year ago when people got on the hypercritical race theory, oh my God, train. And what a majority of states right now in the country have some form of legislation and or law in place that, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm pretty darn close, that says, look, if you feel that a teacher has made you uncomfortable, then that teacher might be teaching indoctrinating types of materials that you can question and find objectionable. So this isn't just Florida.
No.
Why do people, though, hesitate to say and call this out as some form of an authoritarian push, an agenda-driven platform? I mean, that's the wording that comes at teachers and historians, is that, you know, we're involved in this. And the reality is that isn't this the most clear-cut example of hardcore indoctrinating authoritarianism?
Yeah, exactly. And it's to the point that just yesterday, the American Historical Association, the organization of professional historians throughout this country, released the most strongly worded statement I have ever seen. And I'm just going to quote from a little bit of it.
Sure.
That, oh, we express horror, and then in parentheses, not our usual concern, at the assumptions that lie at the heart of this bill. And the bill that they're referring to is HB 999, the Florida one. And it's blatant and frontal attacks on principles of academic freedom and shared governance central to higher education in the United States. Florida's legislature has on its agenda a dagger to the heart of an American institutional framework that has long been the envy of the world. And I think that's so true. Academic freedom means you may not like what you hear. You may disagree with what you hear, but does that mean you should not hear it? No, it does not. And I think the important thing also, when we talk about these students, where are these so-called students that have felt so guilty, that have had nervous breakdowns because someone said to them, oh, that white people enslaved black people in the past? And who in the world in this country doesn't really know that in any case?
Well, I mean, come on, there's a sensitivity out there right now with no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, where are these students who find material, quote, uncomfortable? And then the other part of this, so I'll go back to the teacher side of me and going, you know, part of being uncomfortable is also then probably good evidence that you're engaging in some form of, quote, learning, as opposed to just passive accepting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of wrestling with ideas, it might be uncomfortable, as you said, Margaret. I mean, the things we learned at home where we grew up, and then as we move out into the world and experience other things, occasionally we hear things that might not fit in with the way we view the world, and it might be a little uncomfortable, and then sometimes we make a change. Johnny, I mean, you know, look at you back in the day. I mean, how much you have changed since.
Yeah. I get that one. I appreciate it, Margaret. And for the time you've taken here to be with us tonight, but especially for the time that you and your peers have put forth to support teachers everywhere. And really, when you're supporting teachers, and Margaret knows this, but I'm saying this for our listeners, when experts in any particular area offer their support to teachers, that's really an offer of support to community, to families, to the students, and ultimately to democracy. And that's when Margaret talks about a long envied, you know, aspect of our country and connects that with academic freedom. That's what Margaret's talking about, that as experts, we can contribute our best expertise to the potential of this community being the strongest possible democracy.
Yes.
And that's really what's under attack here for our listeners and to hear or even call in and talk to us about, you know, but when we hear attacks on providing young people with truth, facts, and accuracy, as well as transparency on how we know those things. And mm-hmm. that's what historians do. Historians share how. They're like the scientists of what happened in the past, right? And so they're sharing with us this expertise, folks, for our listeners who may think like, oh, well, history is just whatever kind of story is told here or there. There is actual science to it. There's a discipline here. And there are, in fact, several versions of expertise that converge on, here's how we know what we know happened. Mm. Now, how can that information prepare us to have a stronger democracy moving forward? And so that's really under attack.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, Margaret, just put that forward with the way Johnny laid that out. I mean, you know, maybe people don't recognize or realize historians such as you and the other historians out there on call. It's not like you sit down and go, you know what, here's a new version of the past I think I'm going to throw out there. And people, I mean, you talk to us on it. I mean, there's ethics, there's evidence. Give us a little snippet inside, especially my neighbor who's listening to the show. He wants to know, so what does it mean to be a historian? What do historians do?
Well, if I may talk about my most recent book, is that okay? I mean,
sure, absolutely.
It's about a pro-independence organization, the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party. And so I thought, I think I'm going to write. Most of my students didn't know that Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States. So I thought, I should write a book about that. Then I thought, so how am I going to do it that's interesting? And I thought, well, maybe I'll do it about the people who supported independence in Puerto Rico, which was the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party. And then I thought, instead of just, okay, for me, writing a history of a political party, maybe some people could make that really interesting. I'm not one of those people. So I thought, what if I do something different? So what I began to do is do research, and what historians tend to really love, like when I was a kid, I loved going into a bakery, like, ooh, how exciting. Now I love going into archives because you think, what are the documents I'm going to find? And you go in there, often you have these ideas, this is what I'm going to find. But you go in and find, no, that's not what I found out. I want to find something totally different. And so you go in, and that's what makes it so exciting. And I think what historians really love is somebody saying, well, I understand what you're saying, but here's a different way of looking at it. And then you think, I hadn't thought of it that way. That makes a lot of sense. Or you think, no, that is really not the right way. But it's okay, because you're debating with each other. I think it's just very interesting. So, you know, I think if we think that sort of life is a neat sort of black and white and everything, and there's just simple this, simple that, whose personal life is so simple that you don't have different ups and downs? Well, take your personal life and multiply it by the life of millions of people and the history of this country. Of course, we're going to have complexity.
Whoa. I think about that, Johnny. Millions of people over just for the history of this country, which, again, which history of this country do you mean? Because even that can be potentially talked about in a way that, you know, when I used to teach fifth grade, the unit on American history actually started roughly 12 to 20,000 years ago with those first, you know, groups of immigrants coming across the Barren Land Bridge, you know, from Asia into Alaska. And then that migration of, quote, the first Americans, that group of first Americans through the Americas. And then looking at the indigenous version of what that would be is that, well, we've always been here. And so history starts with us always being here, all of these ways. And then even to then the traditional American history curriculum, well, you know, some form of Jamestown settlement being some beginning of American quote history, and all the things that happened, and all those millions of people that lived from all of those times up until now, how these things have played out. The fact that there's complexity, really, we're surprised. And as you were saying, Margaret, you know, we have legislatures across the country, governors, different political people, people in power who are wrestling with the idea that there are, and, you know, I'm going to say it, that there are shades of gray, and that, quote, truth, again, back to what Ron DeSantis said, is that things have to be accurate and fact-based. Well, as Howard Zinn pointed out, it is accurate and fact-based that, yes, Columbus showed up in what was, the early North America, actually the Caribbean. And so maybe he, quote, somehow discovered America. And it was also true that when the indigenous people there experienced him, it was a horrible encounter of which their people and culture were just about eradicated. Two facts, right? The reality there, two facts, there they are. And however, somehow, somewhere, this is being said that you got to pick the right fact, mm-hmm. not present both facts. And so, mm-hmm. Margaret, it's Historians for Peace and Democracy, sure. is your group.
Yes.
If we want to go and find out more information, we're going to historiansforpeace.org.
Yes.
Or we're going to go to the zinneducationproject.org and look for Historians on Call. Margaret, you got about 30 seconds, last thoughts before we say thank you and let you go back to Chicagoland.
Wait, I have 30 seconds to say something?
Yeah, sure. You know.
Okay. What I want to say is I think everybody has got to do something to counter these attacks on education. I don't think this is a time for passivity. I do not think this is a time to say, wait, it can happen next week. This is a time, I think, for everybody to do something, because I think our very democracy is at stake. If we attack our education, that means we're attacking our children. We're attacking our future. So we have got to act.
Mm. I tell you what, right there, I appreciate that. And I know Johnny does too. And all the listeners of Busted Pencils are out there listening. Spread that word. Historians for Peace and Democracy, Margaret Power. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Margaret. And we will hopefully, you're going to give us an update on how many calls have you received and how many people have you helped? Because that's the next story we want to do. When we get back, Johnny and Tim break it down as we usually do. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, back after the break.
This is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, your home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $199 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 30. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 43. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 31. Upper 30s Thursday. Mid 30s by Friday. 6 to 12 inches of snow Thursday through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils. Educated educators talking education. Fully leaded education talk. Our guest for the last 45 minutes, Dr. Margaret Power, Historians for Peace and Democracy. Check out historiansforpeace.org, zineducationproject.org, Historians on Call. If you're a teacher out there and you're saying, look, you know, I just want a little extra help here as I'm about to present this information to my students tomorrow, give a historian a call. Talk to Margaret. Talk to any of those historians there. They're going to help you out. Now, Johnny, you know, this is our chance. We get to, you know, quote, break it down, as you like to say. And you pointed out during the break, though, the potential of this thing called a false equivalency. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, I got a couple of things I think are really important to bring back around, Tim, and they're related. And one is just emphasizing that historians follow a set of rules. Like, they don't just get to make things up or postulate on what might have happened in the past. They actually study evidence of what occurred in the past. And they follow this set of rules. They're trained as historians. So whether you call Marguerite and the folks in her organization, or you reach out to local historians, there are land historians, there are all kinds of people who trained to be historians who can help provide you with historical consensus. And what I'm going to reach on, like several different folks who have historical training analyzing what happened with all kinds of different political backgrounds, you know, beliefs about the world, coming together to make sense of evidence to help understand what's happened in the past. So wherever you are, and you, especially if you're a teacher, historians are out there to help support you with exactly what DeSantis and folks in Florida are saying they want, which isn't actually what they want, but what they're saying they want is facts in the classroom. Historians can help you with that, with teaching history. Now, folks might not like the historical consensus because of what it does is it tells us about some of the things we might not like about our histories, right? And so that's part of that whole, are folks going to be uncomfortable? There may be some uncomfortable things, but knowing those things empower us to do different moving forward. And that's why it's so important. And so I'll come back to that real quick, Tim. You talked about that false equivalency. Historical consensus, like scientific consensus, is that a whole lot of scientists conducting an experiment, examining some kind of phenomenon, or a whole lot of historians looking at what happened in the Columbus story, right? Agree, even though they disagree on a bunch of other things, they find consensus on some common things. Okay. And occasionally there are like outlying perspectives. And those are important because they get everybody to really relook at things to say, looking at the evidence, did we miss something? Did we misinterpret this? And then they reconvene on historical consensus and say, you know, there are some things we can purport as fact. This happened, right? And so that's important. We acknowledge that there are folks who may say deny the Holocaust ever happened, right? But that's not historical consensus. That's a false equivalency. Okay. And we don't give equal time to false equivalencies. We just don't have the time or risk our democracy with that. Okay. Instead, we leave that to the experts. We let the body of historians agree on what's historical consensus. Let us teach some of those debates. Don't waste time on the stuff that's false information or false equivalencies. It exists, but let's trust historians to flush it out and give us facts that we can teach in our classrooms, not politicians with particular intents telling us what we can and can't teach.
Well, you think about that part too, is that, you know, the idea here, Johnny, I mean, it can get, you know, deep here and rich when we're talking about history, right? Because, you know, this is something that a lot of people, as we say, my neighbor, right, you know, went to school, quote, learned history, and probably more than, you know, like almost every kid in America, if we're talking about an American public school system, learned the, you know, the founders, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. They learned a story that tells, you know, the tale of a triumphant nation and of good things and progress that continues, and occasionally bad things happen, but we fix it and we get better. And you go, you know, look, I hate to tell you this, my neighbor, but that isn't history that you learned. You learned some form of what we would call heritage, a story that makes us feel good, like we belong. However, go ahead, Johnny. I see you saying there.
They did learn it as history.
But
historical consensus wasn't applied at the time, we could say. I mean, the same thing could be true. I could have a neighbor who is much older who said, you know what, back in my day, and this person still isn't even alive anymore if this existed, but we could say, you know, back in the day when you got sick, you opened your arm up and you put a leech on there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we could say, certainly that might have been medical practice in, you know, 1700 or whenever. However, scientific consensus has brought us to know better, right? So it doesn't, I want your neighbor to know, they didn't not learn history. Learned historical consensus that we know now, and now we know more. So
we know more. And like I said, it's not necessarily a critique of my neighbor, it's just the reality. Like you said, this is what they learned as American history. I think I'm going to put it more that way too. They learned this version of a story, and they learned it to be called American history. And so therefore people are passionate about this issue because we believe we know the past and we've heard the past. And when somebody comes up with the potential that the past isn't as the way I think I learned about it or the way I want to believe it, that creates that friction. And so what you're seeing here right now, you know, all this backlash on critical race theory, talking about LGBTQ histories and stuff, it's really just this concern of saying, but this isn't the story I learned, and this offends me. Well, guess what, though? If you're going to be for accuracy, for facts, not ideology, then you're for history. And guess what? When you're for history, you know what that means? That means you're going to be talking about things that are contested and things that might make you uncomfortable. Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, Fully Led Education Talk. More when we get back, or not when we get back, more next Tuesday.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!
When it's raining cats and dogs,
your business can rain profits.
Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecasts is the Cats Meow.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.